Shakespeare's play, The Merchant of Venice, is a real problem. Its central character is a Jewish moneylender named Shylock, who can be read as a pretty standard anti-Semitic stereotype, a man whose commitment to self-interest, whose lack of pity, contrasts with the worldview of the play's Christian characters, who are a far more jolly bunch. But a new production from Bell Shakespeare favours a very different reading. Mitchell Butel plays Shylock as a patient, tough, unsmiling man who lives with daily humiliations meted out on him by those jolly Christians. And these humiliations are so callous that we soon understand why he does what he does. The director of this very assured production is Anne-Louise Sarkes, and the show comes to us from Bell Shakespeare. It's signed up for a 27-theatre tour right across regional Victoria and New South Wales, so it's just as well it's turned out good. Anne-Louise, welcome to the show.
So true. Thanks for having me.
So the play opens in Venice. This is how you've done it. We walk into the theatre and the actors look at us like actors, with that sort of insolence that actors have, loose-limbed and pleased to be in the theatre, looking at the audience in their places. Suddenly they transform into their characters. They kneel and they say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And only Shylock and his daughter don't join in. And that's a bold change to Shakespeare's script. And I loved you for it in that moment. Talk to me about that decision.
Thank you for that. That's great. To be honest, the biggest thing about this play was the opposition between the Christians and those Jewish characters. And for me, then the question became, how do I set that up from the fore? How do I help you understand that that is seems to be the guiding principle here? And also, I actually was raised Catholic, had a very religious upbringing. So I guess those questions about religion are at the front of my mind a lot of the time anyway. And so I just put it to the actors one rehearsal that might be the way for us to start.
And what does Venice represent? I mean, in the Shakespearean world, what did the audience think Venice was when they went along to the theatre?
They thought it was this cosmopolitan city, the sort of centre of the financial world at that point. So it had all the kind of romanticism and chaos of that. For us, it's more like, you know, Wall Street or the sort of stock exchange. It would conjure that for them, I think.
Yeah, so it's quite different. It's sort of modernity, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jews actually were banned from England. I find this so hard to understand.
Yeah, but expelled.
Expelled. So in theory, perhaps in practice, your Elizabethan audience didn't know any Jews.
Absolutely, and had probably never seen a Jewish person. So, you know, a lot of those Jewish characters, you know, in The Jew of Malta as well, were comic villains. They were absolutely that stereotype, and people had no empathy or understanding that, you know, they were utterly dehumanised.
But they do live in Venice.
They live in Venice, but even in Venice, they were ghettoised. So Venice was actually the world's first ghetto. And there's the anniversary of that 500 years ago, just a few months ago. So that was also extraordinary, sort of doing that research and realising that something that has kind of haunted our history ever since that moment began there, and that Shakespeare was actually, he was writing about that.
Yeah. The word ghetto, which once you say it's a Venetian word, it looks Italian, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, but only afterwards, yeah.
Only after someone's told you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk more about the play. So the lead figure in our group of jolly Christians is the Merchant of Venice, Antonio. Yes. Just remind us who he is.
So Antonio is another moneylender, but he's a Christian. So he has all the freedoms, all the power of this town. And one of the other things about that character, Antonio, is that there's a plot or a sort of subplot of a love affair potentially between him and Bassanio. And of course, there's been lots written about, you know, whether they are having a relationship, whether he is a queer character or not. But yes, essentially Antonio and Shylock are kind of arch enemies, and Antonio accepts the deal of the pound of flesh.
Well, hang on, let's explain this. Oh, so Antonio is actually got a cash flow problem.
Antonio's all his stocks, all his merchandise is at sea for the moment, and Bassanio is his young friend, wants to borrow some more money from Antonio so that he can go to find Portia, basically, who lives sort of outside, further away from Venice.
And so just to state it briefly, Antonio, his money, as you say, is all tied up in a venture he's got out on the water. He's got some ships that are going to come back with and reward him big time. Meanwhile, he needs money to help his mate out. So he goes to Shylock to borrow 3,000 ducats, which I reckon is worth about 600,000.
It's huge. It's a really big deal. Yeah,
that and amount. Shylock and Antonio sign a very, very odd contract. Just explain to us what's at stake.
So Shylock, in our production particularly, decides sort of in the moment to suggest that they make a deal for a pound of flesh taken from whatever part of Antonio's body pleaseth Shylock is the deal. And it's quite an extraordinary moment. One of the things I really love was the offer in our production to laugh at that idea, that it's so preposterous. And I think then you get the sense too that they're gambling. Men, you know, they like risk.
Yeah, Sherlock says, indulge me. Of course it's not going to happen. You'll be able to pay it back. You won't have to forfeit a pound of flesh, but let's go with this.
Totally. And he also says, why would I want a pound of flesh? Like, that's worth nothing to me. But of course, that becomes the sort of central problem of the play.
Because Antonio can't pay. He gets news the ships have been lost. Shylock takes him to court and demands that the contract be enforced. And this really is the core of the idea that this is an anti-Semitic play, because it looks so brutal, so almost melodramatic in a villainous way, that he wants to carve out this guy's heart to get his pound of flesh, that it looks as though it's playing to some kind of anti-Semitic prejudices in the Elizabethan audience. I mean, you can certainly read the play as though that's the case. So I suppose the first question is, do you see yourself as subverting Shakespeare's intention, or do you see yourself as a fellow traveller with Shakespeare? Because you have found a much more sympathetic way of presenting the whole story.
That's a really wonderful question, because obviously Shakespeare did this extraordinary thing inside The Merchant of Venice, where he wrote Hath Not a Jew Eyes. He wrote that incredible speech where he's taking a character that the audience, you know, isn't treating as a real human being. And he's saying, actually, aren't I a real person? Don't I have feelings? Aren't I just like you? So that impulse exists inside the play already. And I mean, that's why so many people are a huge fan of this work. But for me, I wanted more than that, because when I read the play, I was really struck with the constant abuse that was held at Shylock, the way that almost all of the characters were so utterly disparaging to him.
They spit at him.
They spit at him. They're always, you know, calling him Jew. They rarely use his name. Just constantly undermining. It's cruel. And so for me, I wanted more than just that speech. I wanted some insight into what it might be like to live like Shylock and his daughter Jessica before she runs away. I wanted us to understand the impact of a kind of daily abuse and oppression.
I mean, we should say, Anne-Louise, that no one today plays this as an anti-Semitic melodrama. Everybody looks for the humanity in Shylock, but I've never seen a production that's pushed this so far. I mean, really, you're totally with Shylock. He just seems totally justified in the kind of crazy thing that he's prepared to do, because who amongst us hasn't been pushed to a limit where we become sort of irrational in our rage? So you've totally got to trust the famous speech, the one you've just referred to. I'm a Jew, hath not a Jew eyes, hath not a Jew hands, organs, dimensions, all that. If you prick us, do we not bleed? And then he says, this is the important part, if you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge?
Yeah. I think you're right that no production kind of attempts to be overtly anti-Semitic anymore. But I think, for me, I felt an incredible responsibility to put that ugliness on stage and to be very clear about why we were doing this production.
The ugliness of the Christian's prejudice, you mean?
Yes, absolutely, of that prejudice. And to really be clear about what those question marks around the production were, to help the audience kind of empathise even more. And so there was a real point, I guess, to that ugliness, because otherwise you're perpetuating something, I think.
That's the danger with the play. I mean, the Jewish critic Harold Bloom suggests that the play weighs the merits of the Christian world and the Jewish one. He says Shylock's shrewd indictment of Christian hypocrisy delights us, but Shakespeare's intimations do not alleviate the savagery of his portrait of the Jew. Well, you've taken it further than that. Now, Shylock's played by Mitchell Butel fabulously. How did you and he talk through the role?
We spent actually a lot of time well before rehearsals talking about the desire for heart and empathy inside this portrayal. And then, you know, inside the room, I mean, to be honest, we spent a lot of time just working on the language and really trusting that the fullness of Shakespeare's poetry is everything you need to communicate. And Mitchell, I mean, he's an extraordinary actor and he has an incredible charisma with an audience, which was part of the appeal for me, because I wanted us to be on side with Shylock from the outset. But also he's worked so hard to find that gravitas to, you know, really invest in the sorrow inside this man.
Sorrow's a great word. Now, the play ends with a courtroom drama. So they end up in court. Antonio and Shylock end up facing each other down in court. And Shylock wants his pound of flesh. He literally wants to take a knife and cut out a pound of Antonio's flesh, because Antonio has been unable to pay back the loan. And this is where the story gets really odd, because the judge in the case is not a real judge, but a young Christian woman named Portia, who's engaged to Antonio's friend Bassanio, and she is impersonating a judge. It's totally implausible. But anyway, she's dressed up as a judge. She's walked in and says, "Howdy, I'm the judge here to try the case." And normally Portia is seen as a sympathetic character who famously gives her quality of mercy speech. She appeals to Shylock to have mercy. She gives the Christian speech, "Have mercy. The quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth as the gentle rain from heaven," she says. But what came through to me, as never before in your production, is how outrageous her conduct is. First of all, she is impersonating a judge.
Yep, absolutely.
This is outrageous.
It's there's a lot of pleasure in that too, in the women dressing up and going to Venice and sort of taking on this case. But when you actually think about the reality of what's occurring in that room, it becomes incredibly disturbing, I think. And that's something else that we really chose to highlight.
Yeah, it's not a big feminist triumph that they're dressing up as guys and going to Venice. What they're doing is disgraceful, not least because Portia is on side with Antonio.
Yes, absolutely. And also has already put up money to pay the bond. I mean, she's so involved. She's in love with Bassanio, who's also there. So it's got that sort of Shakespearean plot logic. You know, there's almost like two parallel plays, a romance and a drama. And then all of a sudden they're aligned in this fourth act in the courtroom.
And then at the end of the trial, she gets really vicious, because not only does she work out how, I mean, on the fly, as you have her perform it, she sort of works it out as she's going, how to get Antonio off the hook. And then she strips Shylock of everything he has and throws him out in the street, basically.
And that was the thing that really struck me about this play, was it wasn't just about winning. It wasn't about saving Antonio's life. It actually all went way too far. And in that moment, they force Shylock to become a Christian. Mm. And I think that, that for me is profoundly disturbing.
Yes. When they put a cross around his neck, a crucifix around his neck, you don't think, oh, they've saved his soul. You think, oh, how appalling this is. Anne Louise Sachs, a wonderful production. Congratulations from the bottom of my heart, or from the bottom of my teeth, as I once heard a German say to me. Thank you so much. It's just been wonderful to talk to you.
You too. Thanks very much.
Anne Louise Sachs, director of Bill Shakespeare's production of The Merchant of Venice. It's playing at Arts Centre Melbourne until the 30th of July, followed by a big regional tour through Victoria and New South Wales, then opening at the Sydney Opera House in late October. And, well, you've got the message. I love seeing it. It's funny, it's bold, it's complex, and the language is clear and sparkling, and their performances are absolutely terrific.